Happy New Year. Wow, new year, new beginnings. We make New Year's resolutions because we want things, new things to happen in our lives. I won't be tempted to give you the dismal statistics of how many people keep their New Year's resolutions. Most don't even make it through the end of the month. It actually works for me. I try to go to the gym twice a week, and I actually went yesterday. The gym was packed. And that's the way it is in January. I mean, all these people go to the gym, and by the end of the month, it'll be back to normal. And that works for me because all those people pay memberships, which keep my price low. So it works for me really, really well. We do want to change for the good. We want things to be better in our life. And so let's forget about the dismal statistics. And let's focus on what can we do to experience change, for things to get better. Because we want things to get better in our family. We want things to get better with our finances. We want things to be better with our faith. We want to follow Jesus better. We want our relationships to be better. And there's a way. That way is through a principle, and that principle is the principle of focus. That's the way that we get to experience real change and transformation. So we're in this very short series. We're in the second week of this series, One Word, One Year, Real Change. And what we're going to do is we're going to see that the key to growth, the key to change, the key to transformation is focus. And so my point last week as we began this series was simply this: focus will lead us to the change we want. Focus will lead us to the change we want. When we focus on a single thing that we want to change or get better and put all our energy towards that, then that's our best shot at really experiencing change, getting better in some way. And so this principle of focus is all throughout the Bible. And you think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And then all this other stuff, it'll all come together. Focus on the kingdom, on the things of God and his rightness and his right doing. And then everything else will take its place. Everything else will settle out really, really well. And so last week I introduced us to a chapter in the Bible that I think is one of the best chapters about focus. It's found in Colossians chapter 3. So take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. It's page 822 in the Bibles that are in the seats in front of you. And by the way, if you need a Bible, please take one of those. We'd love for you to have that. Page 822, Colossians chapter 3. Look right here at the very beginning of this chapter, Paul sets out this principle of focus. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." And so he makes a command there. He says, set. Twice he says it. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. In other words, he's saying, take your whole being and focus that on the things of God. And that's, it's the principle of focus, that we don't focus on the things that we have to deal with in our mundane everyday life. We focus on the things of God. And that will bring about the greatest change and the best hope that we possibly have as we do that. And so as we begin this new year, this time of new beginnings, I want you to think about, what's the one change? What's the one thing you'd like to focus on that would make the biggest difference in your life? What one thing could you focus on this year that would bring about a transformation that would give you the biggest bang for the buck, so to speak? Maybe it has to do with something in your family right now. What's that one thing that would make the biggest difference in your family life? Or what's that one thing that would make the biggest difference in your finances or in your health and well-being or in relationships or maybe in your career? or school. You could think of a lot of different areas where that, what, or maybe more importantly, our faith. What habit? What attitude change? What action? What decision would bring about a real change and transformation for you this year that would bring about a huge win for you? Now, I like the word win. For me, it's actually an acronym. For me, win means what's important now. Win, what's important now. And here's why I like this word. If everything's important, nothing's important. If we try to do a lot of things, we tend to not do get them all done, and what we do get done, we don't get done very well. And so win describes for me this whole idea of focus. What's important now that I'll put all my energy to and that I'll focus on right now? That one key thing that's going to be important. In some ways, win is like a goal. But to me, it's clearer than a goal. It's bigger than a goal. In fact, my win might have a lot of goals that are a part of it, but the win is what I'm focused on, what's important right now. And in life, we need to know what the win is. In fact, when we know what the win is, then we can fully engage, we can focus in on it, and it can become a reality. And when we're in situations where there's no clear win, it's really frustrating. Some of you have been in jobs where there was no clear win. You got hired and then you didn't really know what you were supposed to do. You didn't know what it would take to get a promotion or an advancement or a raise. And you just end up just doing stuff because you're not really sure what the win is. Or you're a part of a team or you're a part of a department and you don't know what the win is. And without the win, you end up just doing your own thing and there's no cohesion, there's no unity, there's frustration. Some of you have experienced that. Or just think of just sports. You know, you take your kids out to a field, it's a soccer field, and the soccer ball's out there, and the referee's out there, and there's two teams, and there's no goals. You've heard of herd ball? That's ultimate herd ball. You know, just you run around, you don't know what the goal is. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't work that way. We need to have wins in life. And I use win in a lot of different situations. I use it here with our staff, as I lead our staff. I take our pastors and directors on a retreat and we just do some brainstorming. What is one thing that we could do as a church that would make a real difference for our church and our impact in the world? And we just start brainstorming a whole bunch of things and there'll be a whiteboard full of ideas. And then we say, okay, of all those ideas, what's most important? And we begin to eliminate some good things that we could focus on, and we identify one, maybe up to three. And what we do is we create what we call an annual operating plan based on one, two, maximum three wins. And we only focus on one win at a time. And all of us on staff focus on what's important now. And that creates incredible unity among us. We don't just do our own thing and forget. We're all working together towards a goal. It's an incredibly powerful thing for any organization, especially for God's church. I use win, what's important now, in the context of counseling. Sometimes a person will come, in fact, it happens often, a person will come and they'll just pour out all of the problems and challenges and setbacks they've had. Sometimes it can take a person a half an hour, 45 minutes to just pour out all of this pile of troubles and messes. And then they feel so overwhelmed that they're paralyzed, which adds to the list. And I'll be honest, particularly early as I was doing counseling, when I would hear that, sometimes I would feel overwhelmed and I would feel paralyzed. What a gosh, it's so huge. But I've learned there's a simple question that helps at that moment. I'll ask the person, okay, of all of that stuff, what's the most important thing that you can work on now? What's the next step? What's the one thing? You can't fix it all right now. What's the one thing you can do that will be the most helpful right now. And that oftentimes then gets us unstuck and moving forward. So here's my main point for today. One word, one year, one win that could bring real change. What if we were to pick one word, focus on it for one year, and that one year focus on that one word would be about a win that would make a real difference. And so in other words, we identify, what's that win for me? That one thing, what's important now that I'll then reduce to one word so I can remember it. And that'll be my focus for an entire year. There's some incredible implications of that. When we have the clarity of our win, which we've identified with one word, and we focus on it for a year, then we learn to say yes to some things and no to other things. Because now we know what we're focused on, and so it makes it easier to say yes to the right things and no to the things that are just distractions. And the other thing that it does is once we know what that focus is, then we begin to look, we're more attuned, we're more alert, we are more observant to all of the opportunities that we have that can help us actually accomplish that win. And so, like, for example, if you were wanting to improve in your finances, and that was your win was about money, maybe getting out of debt, maybe living contently on the income that you have, whatever that is, then you might say, you know what, I got a great opportunity coming up, Financial Peace University. When you go out, you're going to get a handout. It'll look like this that'll talk about financial peace and some of the other classes. You know, you begin to say, what are the opportunities that I have that can help me to really develop this? Or if your win is about being a better parent in some way, and you say, man, I want to take Love and Logic when it's offered later this spring. We just begin to look and observe the things that will help us. If I want to follow Jesus better and I want to truly love God in a deeper and more profound way, then what are the things that would help me do that? Being a part of a small group, starting a small group, going to next step and finding out what some options are. We look for those opportunities and we find those. So Paul sets the principle in Colossians chapter 3. First two verses. Set your hearts, set your minds on things above. And then what we looked at last week as we continued in chapter 3 of Colossians, as we looked at what Paul does next, is he says, you know, there's some things that you need to remove from your life in order to focus. He uses the phrase, there's some things you need to die to. And if you missed last week's message, you can watch that online. We've improved our website, and it's now mobile friendly as well. You can watch any of the past messages on there, and you can see about what it is we're to remove or to die to that'll help us to focus well. And then Paul continues again in Colossians chapter 3. It starts in verse 12. Look what he says there. Now he talks about what we put on or what we actually focus on. Verse 12, Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, by the way, any time the Apostle Paul says therefore, he's referring to everything he's just said. Because we're to focus on things above, not on earthly things, because we've learned to remove certain things from our life that will hinder us, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So Paul, as he says, therefore, saying, okay, so this is kind of the conclusion. That's what therefore means. He says, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved. I love that. Here's how he starts out. Remember who you are. As you focus, remember that you are special to God, chosen people. You are holy. Holy, by the way, doesn't mean perfect. When God is holy, it means he is perfect. For us, it doesn't mean that we're perfect, but it means literally that we're set aside. We're set apart. We're not willing to settle for ordinary. I'm going to do a whole series this spring, or this year, on holiness as we look at what it means to not just be ordinary. We're not just ordinary because we're special to God. He has set us apart for a special purpose, for special responsibilities, and we are dearly loved. And so where Paul starts with this is, don't forget who you are. And then you'll see the analogy play out. He basically says, remember who you are and dress like it. You know, I think of the Queen of England. She can never dress like I dress. I get to be casual. She has to dress because of who she is. And so Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves appropriately. So think about an athlete. I mean, and this is such a great figure of speech. Think, for an athlete to win, they have to dress right. A long distance runner, if you've ever seen them, unless the weather is incredibly cold, which rarely do they try to run in that kind of weather, they're going to dress as light as possible. The clothing that they wear is going to give them the maximum amount of freedom. Quite the opposite of a football player who wants to put on lots of protection. If you want to win, you got to dress appropriately. And that's what Paul's saying. So Paul uses this figure of speech, clothe yourselves. And then he gives us a list of words. Here are some, this isn't an all-inclusive list. This was probably a list that he mentioned to this particular church because of their particular need. But he said, these are the things you want to put on. Compassion. Or maybe it's kindness. Or humility, or gentleness, patience, or maybe you need to forgive. Maybe you need to bear with someone. Or maybe it's just love that kind of wraps it all together. Remember who you are, dress appropriately so that you reflect God in your life. That goes back to the first principle. Set your heart, set your minds on things above, the things of God. Set your mind on Jesus and put on Jesus. All of those words describe putting on Jesus in our life. So that's the principle, focus. Focus on the things above, putting on Jesus. And every principle needs practice. And that's why Paul then gives all of these specific words or actions that we could actually embrace. And then I want to be even more practical. What if we pick one word for 1 year that would represent one win that could make a real difference in our lives? Identify the win, reduce it to one word, and focus on it for an entire year, because we are God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved. And so we need to be able to focus on something that will represent God well as that becomes more and more a reality in our life. One word for 1 year, focusing on one win, and that'll bring about change. Last year, I introduced this basic idea. We called it the one word challenge last year. It was, honestly, I was blown away by how well this was received. Many, many, many of you took on the challenge of one word. And throughout this year, I've got to hear incredible stories of the change and the transformation that's happened. Last week, I introduced to you Lainey, one of our youth coaches. Her word was freedom. It was freedom from debt, but it was more than just freedom from debt. That's why the one word kind of covers a whole lot of that. Yes, freedom from debt, but it also for her was then freedom from the stress and the lack of ability to be generous in some other ways. And so she worked on it. She began the year with $24,000 of debt. And because that was her focus, she, just like I mentioned, the implication is you look for help, and she took Financial Peace University. And so she was able in last year to reduce that debt from $24,000 to $6,000. She had six different debts. She's now down to one, and she'll eliminate it this year. That's what focus does. She didn't get it all done in the year, but she made huge progress in 1 year. Another guy shared with me that his word was praise, and as a result of that, he just focused all year on praising God and resulted in him developing a website that's become very successful and very popular. Another gal sensed that God was calling her one word last year to be radical, and she didn't understand why God would want her to choose the word radical. But she accepted it. She knew that God wanted her to have that. She focused on it. And throughout the year, she had opportunities for making radical, big decisions. And her whole life was changed. Even our students took on this challenge. One of our students who is in our student worship band and has gone on mission trips, I want to let him share with you his own ideas about his word.
Hi, my name is David Morden. I am a student here at Pantano Christian Church. The word that I chose last year was accentuate, and that means to make more noticeable or prominent. I chose one word last year because it was easier to focus on one word than it was to focus on a whole bunch of other resolutions. To me, accentuate means to make God more noticeable in my life. And so last year, I really focused on making God more noticeable in my friendships, my school, and my daily conversation.
I love it. Accentuate. One of our students who wanted to accentuate God in his life in all of the situations he's in. Last year, my word was generous, and I've shared that with you before. Because that was my word, I began, honestly, I had to say, how do I become more generous with my time, with my attention, with my money? And I read books. I did some Bible studies on it. I even attended a seminar on generosity. And for me, 2015 was a huge win because I grew to be more generous. The surprise for me was being more generous in giving. I thought my focus would be more in some of the other areas, but it ended up being giving as well. And it was one of the best years of my life. And I believe it's because of the focus on being generous. So for 2016, my new word is kindness. Now you say, kindness, gosh, Glenn's the kindest person I know, right? You all believe that? Well, yeah, most of the time I'm kind in most situations, but boy, if somebody's words some things poorly at the wrong time, I cannot be very kind. Sometimes the kindness isn't so much expressed as the lack of kindness isn't expressed in words or actions, but sometimes it's just inside, and I don't like that it's inside. And over the last few months, there's been enough situations where I've sensed, and I believe God's Holy Spirit has been speaking to me, saying, you know, you could have responded in a kinder way. And so it's not like I'm this terribly evil, horrible person, but I really can improve in kindness. And what's interesting is this word began to surface for me, I began to notice it in Scripture. Like today, verse 12, Colossians 3, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness. There it is. And some of you are familiar with a passage of Scripture that we call the fruit of the Spirit, where Paul says that these are the things that represent the Holy Spirit working in us and changing us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. There it is again. And all of a sudden, I begin to find this word popping up all through Scripture. And it was just really clear to me that God wanted me to focus on kindness. Now, as you think about your one word, and when you came in, I hope you got one of these cards. If not, grab one when you go out. I want you to think about your word. And your word might not be anything like my word. Your word might be a hard word, might be a messy word. Might be a word that describes struggle. That's okay. Because what we want to do is we want God to tell us what that word is. I'm going to ask our servers if you would prepare for communion and offering. And while they do that, I want to talk about how we discover that one word. One word to focus on one year that would create an incredible win that would bring real change. So, we begin with when. What's important now? There's a lot of things you might want to fix in your life. What's the one thing that's most important right now? And how do you discover that? There's two basic ways that we discover it. One is by asking God. God knows you. God knows your life. Ask him, God, what is the word that you have for me for 2016? And then take some time not only to ask God and to pray about it, but to reflect, because what I've discovered is that God often is at work. My very first word was faithfulness a number of years ago. And I discovered that word because I just paused to say, God, what have you been saying to me through the experiences of this past period of time? And so if we take time to reflect, we oftentimes sense that God has already begun working in us to identify that word. And we just directly ask him, God, what is that word that you want us to have? And then take the time to do that. Don't be in a hurry. It might be clear right now. It might take you a little while to figure that out. That's okay. And then there's a great four-day devotion. It's called the One Word Four-Day Devotion. There's the link that you can find that on. Or just Google it. Just Google One Word Four-Day Devotion. And it'll just guide you through some scriptures, some ideas for the next 4 days that will help you identify that one word that you can focus on for the next year. Also, there's a link to that in my blog this week. If you haven't subscribed to my blog, please do so. You're going to find out a lot about what's going on here, as well as, I think, some good spiritual guidance and help over this year in that way as well. So what Paul does, and then last, once you figure out your word, on the back of this card, it just encourages you to put this on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you use, and hashtag it one word so that we can begin to share that and see each other's words as well. And by the way, this has become so powerful that not only have we done it as a church, but now it's begun to expand to other churches here in Tucson as well. It's a pretty exciting process because we want to change for the good. So in Colossians chapter 3, Paul commands us, set, fix, focus your heart, your mind on the things of God. Not on the things of this world, but on the things of God. And how do we keep focused on the things of God? That's the trick. You know, that's why New Year's resolutions tend to not last, is they're just a short-term focus, not a long-term focus. One of the ways is by focusing on one thing. The other thing that's really critical to keeping our focus on the things above, I believe, and the most powerful thing that we can do to help keep our focus on the things above is by consistently being in God's word. Now, sometimes we frustrate ourselves. We go, I'm going to read a book a week. Or I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. There's nothing wrong with that. Many of you do that. But what if you just do something consistently as you read the Bible? What we've developed in our own Bible reading plan is we do one chapter a day, 5 days a week. It's manageable. So what happens is if you get behind, the reason we do 5 days a week is you can catch up on the weekend if you get behind. And then you don't tend to give up. Okay, so if you're super, you know, if you've got the super spirituality and you can do 5 chapters a day, go for it. But if you're like a lot of us, one chapter a day, 5 days a week keeps us consistently in God's word and keeps our focus on the things of God. Pick up our Bible reading plan on the way out. A YouVersion app has all kinds of Bible reading plans if you want to use a different one. But be consistently in God's word as we begin this new year to keep our focus on the things above. And so we come to communion, which is all about focus. Jesus and the Apostle Paul tell us in Scripture to do this in remembrance of him. Paul specifically says that Jesus said to remember Jesus' death in this time of communion. It's about focusing on what God has done for us, that He chose us as His special people. He set us apart as holy. We are dearly loved, loved so much that Jesus was willing to die. If you're new here and you've made a decision to follow Jesus, we invite you to participate in this moment of focus. The cup of juice, the piece of bread, they represent Jesus' sacrifice for us. And so as the servers in a moment pass the trays, take the cup and the bread, pass the tray, and then use that time to focus. And this would also be a great time to begin, if you haven't already, to ask God, what do you want me to focus on this year? What's my win? What's important now? What's my one word that describes that? After communion, we take an offering. And there's actually another win that I use. The one I've introduced to you today is what's important now. Another win is also who's important now. And giving is an opportunity for us to express who is important right now. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful in this moment that You chose us, that we are special to You, we're a part of Your family, that You have set us apart for a purpose, and that You've loved us dearly. And so God, help us to clothe ourselves, help us to dress appropriately. Help us to put on that which would reflect You well. And so God, I pray that You would help each of us now to identify what to focus on this year. What that win is. And then God, we ask Your Holy Spirit to grow us and change us and transform us as we keep that focus on You and the things above. In Jesus' name, amen.